This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from gloomy skies here in the Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it was another nice full week of Caps hockey. We'll definitely get to that. Joining me as always, once again, is the one and only Mermaid Live herself from Centerville, Virginia in the Commonwealth. It is Anna Knox. Anna?
Yeah. Happy Sunday, girl.
Yeah, I don't know about happy, but it is Sunday.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Like, it was gorgeous yesterday, a little overcast today, but I think we have hit the peak of the beautiful foliage in this area, which is always fantastic. And then, of course, I'm watching the Niners play right now. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, at least there's that. It's an up and down week for all of us, I think, on the ice and in life. But you don't come here to hear about our troubles, although they're few or many or however. You come here to listen to us talk about Caps hockey, so let's just go ahead and get right into it. But before we do, I just want to throw out something as far as an admin. A lot of you may already know, I've actually been invited by a group who's formed a webpage called the Maryland Sports Blog. It's led by a guy by the name of Brad Radsky. I hope I'm saying his name right. He's invited me to be basically a Caps correspondent. I'm not the only one who contributes, of course, but I've agreed to contribute the game recaps as often as I can. I'm not going to be doing that maybe every game, but as many games as I can. All goes back to some wise words some friends of mine gave me a while ago to put myself out there and
yes,
gain some exposure. So
I will speak on behalf of friends and friends of the show, front listeners and everything. That way to go, Gil. Golf clap all around, foam finger wave, whatever you want to call it. Good job. It's awesome.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that you, for one, are glad that I'm exposing myself.
Yeah, this exposure should be, how can I put it? I don't know. I'll have to think about
it. Take your time.
I'll think of something creative and come back.
Well,
yes, exposing yourself is always a good thing.
I would think so. And if, since everyone here listening is, accustomed to our style of presentation, we do nothing but present the naked truth as far as how we feel. So
that's very true.
Yes.
And this way, it's almost like you're supporting my commando ways. So I'm all on board.
Absolutely. Of course, the recaps, of course, are going to be, in all seriousness, going to be a little bit more different, a little bit different style than the podcast.
A little more professional.
If that's one way of putting it, kind of the Joe Friday approach, just the facts, ma'am. Whereas, here we're kind of more free to, say what we feel. It's just the recaps are going to be a lot more factual, straightforward, forthright. And how that's married. What's that?
like the perfect blog for you.
Yeah. And actually when this all started, this actually all started as a blog. I intended to do a podcast, but I was advised that the best way to start that would be to start with a written blog. So yeah, I'm kind of going back to my roots, as far as that goes, and all kind of rolls into the podcast, and that we're going to be trying a little something new for the listeners out there.
Are we both going to be exposing ourselves?
Well, I mean, that's, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your time. I would never do that. But as far as how it affects the podcast, it won't affect the frequency. It might affect the content though, because, well, you might have noticed that our shows tend to run about an hour or so. So I'm making a concerted effort to try and cut that down, because, I think, the content, I've been taking a hard look at things. I think the content really needs to be more focused. We're really trying to hook more Caps fans, and perhaps maybe more hockey fans in general, maybe not fans of the Caps, but maybe more hockey fans, and really, really grow the podcast. Last year was a big year for us, but I want us to get even bigger. We crossed the 250 mark as far as the number of followers on our Facebook page, and I want to grow even bigger. So I think, you know, making the podcast a little bit more user-friendly, a little bit more accessible, a little bit more, you know, hands-on, a little more wieldy, you know, an hour just might be a little bit too much for somebody starting out. So we're going to try and compact things a bit, put more quality, you know, and less quantity as far as time. So we're going to try and keep things to around 45 minutes. So we're going to condense the recap. So if you really want more in-depth recaps, I highly suggest, not to toot my own horn again, but highly suggest the Maryland, it's www.marylandsportsblog, all spelled out, .com, and it's the capital section. And I'm going to try and do the game recaps as much as I can. I can't promise it'll be every game, and I've already informed Brad of that. He's a very cool guy, very understanding. And so if you want the detail that we usually give as far as the rundown of the stats, I mean, we'll focus on a key game is what we're going to do, but we're not going to do it for every game, because like this past week, we've got four games to cover. There's just not going to be enough time. And we value, you know, the Mermaid and I and everybody who takes part, we all value our, well, of course, our own time and your time, because, you know, we love it that you make us a part of your work week, or, you know, or downtime, or in the case of friends like Eric Hayes, you know, on the road time. But, you know, you don't really need us to drone on for an hour or more about stuff you probably already know. So we're going to.
Okay.
You know,
so, Gal.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
all right. I'm just kidding.
Okay. So here's already somebody that's tired of me exposing myself. So
yeah, you need to, you know, you have to do it in smaller quantities.
True.
Oh.
Yeah. Got me. Okay, so you're right. Let's just go ahead and get into it. There were four games played, as I mentioned. The first one, well, when we last left you, Caps had played two, and they were 0-2, sadly. But they finally got the win this past, what was it? I got to pull up the calendar. Sunday, Monday?
It was Saturday. Saturday. It was the Montreal game, yep.
That's right. Saturday, back home at Cap One against Montreal, against the Canadiens. It's a 3-1 win. Real good game all around, even though they fell behind. Nick Suzuki got the first goal 2 minutes in. But we got goals from Sherry, Mantha, and Oshie. Mantha, of course, with the eventual game winner. That was actually his second of the year. He scored in the opener against Boston, I believe. Water under the bridge. But Oshie got a power. Oshie's goal was a power play goal. He actually knotted an assist in the game. So the number one star of the game is Darcy Kemper. He walked away with 21 saves in the game. If there was any bad point of the game, it was the faceoff, but it turned out to not make much difference, because the Caps really took over this game after, I would say, the midway mark of the first period. And this was their game that they finally needed, that I think after, you know, enough playing time, they finally started to figure things out and just gel. And, you know, quality performance, as I mentioned, by Darcy Kemper, deservedly the number one star in the game, stopped a lot of high danger chances that came by early. This game could have gotten away from the Caps, but it didn't. Shot output was terrific. They kind of tailed off at the end, which is a bit dangerous, but, you know, fortunately, they were able to keep things together. Anna, did you have a chance to watch this game? Did you notice anything about it?
I did. Well, I was going to say the same thing, you know, still like with the face-off percentage. But I will say the positives, yes. Kemper, Sherry, you know, Oshimantha, like all of that, I was like, yay, loving it. But I was not happy with that third and only three shots on goal. Like,
yeah,
that
no.
to me is like, I mean, I know Canadians only, they had nine, but still three is to me unacceptable. So we're, you know, at nauseam, I talk about chemistry, but then we also talk about 60 minutes of hockey and we're
right.
just not quite there. So those were like my, as we call in the classroom, the grows and glows. So glows are
yeah.
the players that scored the grows, face off and play in 60 minutes.
True enough. And yeah, and that's pretty much best way to say it right now. Yeah, is the three shots, as you said, it's taking your foot off the gas, and they really should not be doing that. They need to get out of that habit. Now, fortunately, it did not cost them this game, but down the road, it just might. But the bottom line, they got the W. They're in the win column, so that was pretty good. So next game, moving on. Okay, we're actually going to we're going to bundle this game and the most recent game. So the Vancouver mm-hmm. they stayed at home this past Monday against Vancouver. And wow, you and I were on the Sports on the Hill podcast with Robbie Gross, and we said Vancouver was kind of a tricky team to figure out. So it was a tale of two games, this one, and the Kings game for that matter. But Caps fell behind pretty early in this game, and it wasn't looking good. I mean, Ovechkin got the opening goal within a minute, the bizarro McNugget minute goal with a power play, his first of the year. But then Elias Pettersson tied it at the end of the first, and then it started getting away from the Caps, even though Eller put them ahead 2-1 8 seconds in. Then it started getting away from the Caps, and it's three straight goals by Vancouver. And going into that third, you're kind of wondering what was going on. Caps are able to mount a comeback, thank goodness. Not going to give you the details of the game, but the offense finally, as we know them to do, exploded in that game. And like I said, when we get to the LA game that was just played last night, almost a carbon copy of that game. So it's those two are, you know, in my mind, the same game, kind of a funny start to both of them. And mm-hmm. then the Caps caught fire at the end and everything just, you know, worked out. And, you know, the best players showed up, you know, Carlson and Ovechkin in the Vancouver game. I think Sherry had a goal. Dylan Strome had his first as well. Hopping over to the Kings game, Eller again. Mojo got a nice goal, also his second. Orlov got three assists in the Kings game. I mentioned that in my blog article. It all happened just the two games. Again, identical third periods, really. The Caps caught fire. They finally woke up. They
excuse me.
You know, and they stopped choking. You know, good example there, Anna. So
I try.
To save time, I couldn't help but notice those two were the same game. So that leaves the one in between them, that's the Ottawa game. Probably the worst game that was played in my mind, because the Caps really had this game. It was the reverse of those two games, where they started great. Their power right. play looked great. And then, I don't know, the second period came along and then everything just died. They gave up power play chances of their own and everything just died. And I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it's not. I will say it was an incredibly frustrating game. It made me cranky to watch the whole thing start to end, because we wanted to start off like, oh, hell yeah. You know, oh, she Mantha, like, you know, here's these. Then Anthony Mantha is just kicking ass this season, and I love it. And I love it for Robbie, because I know was a huge supporter, and then, you know, did that really awesome shirt. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, then he got an injury. But yeah, this was good. And then all that second period, and just was like, holy shit, what just happened to the team? And then that just unfortunately bled into the third period, and that was it. So yeah, I don't know. It was a crap game. I'm glad they bounced back, but with the Kings. But even that was, you know, kind of crazy last night. So
yeah. No, we're going to go ahead and make this our focus game of the week, because I think it's very telltale and telling of some habits that the Caps have gotten themselves into and need to break. We've mentioned this, you and I, many, many times, the need to play a 60-minute game, the need to focus, the need to, you know, get out of things that they do routinely that get them in trouble repeatedly. There's time enough early in the season to not fall into that hole. But if you keep to that and expect to win, then you're not gonna, and you're not going to get the result that you want. So let's go through the scoring summary really quick. Opening the game, as I mentioned, two power play chances, a 10-01 in the first. TJ Oshie puts away the snapper. Marcus Johansson and John Carlson on the assist for that. 10-01 in the first power play goal. Caps actually had they actually were this recipient of back-to-back calls that resulted in a minute or so long power play. So they actually had a 5-on-3 at the time of Oshie's goal. So when Oshie scored, they were actually still on the power play. And then Anthony Mantha capitalized 34 seconds later, put them up 2-0 while still on the power play. And so the Caps were Caps seemed to be running away with it. Ottawa's a young team, but I would not count them out. I think they're growing. They got some key additions last year. Claude Giroux, one of them. Brady Tkachuk is now the captain of that team. And I think you're gonna be surprised by this team. I wasn't surprised by what eventually happened, because this team is building an identity where there's no quit. And they showed it in the second, because they had power plays of their own that they were granted. 5:48 in the second, Drake Batherson put away the first of those two, Tkachuk and Alex DeBrincat. The assist, another one of those key additions, DeBrincat with the assist on that one. Batherson would capitalize on the second power play chance that they got, 7:39 in the second, tying the game. Tkachuk and Thomas Chabot, who's developing into superstar status in his own right. Well, I don't think he's as bad as the other Tkachuk.
Yeah, I can see that. I just don't like either.
But
one
they
of them
do both. they do have that innate feistiness that they learn from their father, Keith Tkachuk. Right. They're both pains in the arse to play against. So I totally get that. And then from there, the Caps just kind of faded. Now, Al Kokin made a great point before the Kings game, if you look at the wins and losses so far, the Caps, when they win, they were dominant in the as far as the power play production, and they were, when they're even. Or behind as far as the power play production, then they lose. Well, I would say to counter that, it's more realistic to say that the 5-on-5 play has to be a lot more consistent. Not to refute completely Smoke and Al's point, but I think the 5-on-5 play has to be a lot better, because that's really what doomed the Caps in this game. Third period, 5:53 in, the winning goal scored by Shane Pinto. He was left all alone in the high slot to slam home a wrister. Perfect triangulation play by the Senators, and the Caps just couldn't, present the proper defensive coverage to prevent that shot. And, it was the game-winning goal. And then, the Caps had some – I think they had some power play chances. No, they did not. They did not in that whole third period. There are no penalties called. Hey, I just want to say something real quick about that game. The refs need to start to find a little bit more consistency themselves. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the penalty summary in that game, 10 calls in the second period, none in the third.
Yeah. It's a little extreme.
Yeah, there's a term for that. It's called swallowing your whistle. And that's, I don't know. Why is a penalty in one period and not in the second? And I'm sure there were calls on both sides that could have been made and not. So when the third period rolled around, they had to be, therefore, better 5-on-5, and they just weren't. And that was the difference. They had trouble gaining the zone. They had trouble sustaining possession. You can see it in the – I mentioned this in the recap article, the fading shot total. That usually tells the tale.
Yeah.
Only 5 shots in the second, 7 in the third, a completely pitiful output. By contrast, Senators got 15 in the second and 22 in the third.
God, I actually had a question for you also, but those are just pathetic stats in my opinion.
All right. So what was your question?
Oh, sorry. So my question was, and because I didn't want to get too much off the track, but you know how.
You're fine.
Say what I want to say.
Sure.
How are you feeling about McMichael versus Brown?
Well, okay. So that was another reason why I wanted this to be the focus game, because in the Vancouver game, okay. So you had two guys who ended up having to be absent, one after the game and one during the game, to preface this. So we had Connor Brown, unfortunately, getting injured, awkward board play, and it turns out he's going to need surgery. So he's now on LTIR, I believe. So I don't know how long that's going to be. And, of course, Kuznetsov, he decided his costume for Halloween was to that of an Arabian swordsman.
That's pretty for who he is as a player. And it's like, come on.
I will agree with this one of quite a few points that C4 Cheryl Ann Forster put out during the week. He's darn lucky that one game suspension was not a 100 game suspension or something in the middle.
Yep.
Because that was quite the slash. But to get to your to the answer to your question, I love Connor Brown's compete level. I love the fact that he might not have gotten on the score sheet, as it were, but I think he did his absolute best to, on the forecheck, I think, is where he thrives. I would like to have seen a bigger sample size. I'd like to see him get more of a chance, but unfortunately he's hurt now. We don't know when he's coming back. I also like the fact, it does. And, but McMichael is now getting a chance. Now it's kind of different because I think Connor Brown's actually a winger, and McMichael is most comfortable in the center slot. And I don't think they're going to put him in unless they have a center slot open for him. So with Kuznetsov being out for this game because of the suspension, he got a chance, and you know, he actually got himself in a scrap. I think he got a fighting major late in the second period. So that shows me at least that he's willing to do anything to stay on the team. And, you know, as we mentioned, that unfortunately, when you miss a guy like a Tom Wilson, you're going to miss the physicality that he brings. And that's got to be made up somewhere. And if you've got to have a guy like Connor McMichael, who's maybe that's not part of, you know, a big part of his game, maybe step up and do that kind of thing. If he's willing to do that, I say give him a chance. But
again, he did.
He did. And I'm, you know, again, he's not going to get a chance unless there's a center spot available. And as long as we got Eller and Kuznetsov and Strome and Dowd healthy,
right,
he's just not going to get a chance.
I was thinking when he dropped the gloves. Sorry.
Oh, no, right. No, he's
and that,
he's,
that I have to say, like, I think we might have found him a little, I'm not going to say reserved because I don't know enough about Connor McMichael. I think we, at the end of last season, we had hoped to see more just kind of on that meh, like, I can't go either way. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, you know, you're up and let's see it. And it's like, not only did he get a chance to play, he got a, you know, a chance to drop the mitts and let's see it. So I don't know. I just need Tommy back.
Yeah. And at the really same do. Time, at the same time, I don't want a Connor McMichael to have to go out there and drop the gloves all the time.
Oh, no. Sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I'm just saying, I think because I felt Connor McMichael to be more of a reserved player last year for whatever reason. He just didn't really stand out in my mind, which, you know, who cares what I think. But I was kind of hoping to see, like, okay, maybe he's really – maybe we're going to see more from him. So I did not expect him to do this. Like, I'm not saying I need him. He's not going to fill in for Tommy, and I don't need Tommy to come back in and go, you know, all crazy. But I'm just saying it was nice to see. Maybe he's got a little fire in him, and maybe we'll see a little something more that on paper we know he can do. I just want to see more of it on on the ice, if that makes sense.
No, I totally agree. And okay. Unfortunately, I just looked up his stats for the game. He only got 8 minutes and 33 seconds of ice time. So
yeah,
I don't know. I want to see him trusted a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, he's not of quite at that point in his career where he's going to light up the score sheet, but I do think he's got something to offer. Mm-hmm. So I think slowly but surely, hopefully he'll start to earn that ice time. Mm-hmm. And you got to give him at least 12 to 14 minutes a game, I would think, to be able to know what you've got.
Right. Right.
And, okay. But yeah, but unfortunately he's got a log jam of centers in front of him, and it's just not, I don't know. He's kind of caught right now, and of course they got Kuzi back, and I don't know. It's kind of hard to answer that question until he gets that chance, and I really hope it doesn't come down to another injury where he gets that chance. That's why there was talk earlier in the year, maybe sending him down to Hershey, get him more playing time that way. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I do think, you know, we're on that slow countdown where it's going to be play him or trade him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I hate to put it in those words, but I think that's what we're getting to with McMichael at this point.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately or unfortunately, how you want to look at it, that also drew in Joe Snively, who also stuck for not only this game, but the next game. And Joe, in effect, is Connor Brown's replacement, although it's different lines. But in effect, it's not quite a one-for-one swap. But Joe Snively, in effect, is Connor Brown's quote-unquote permanent replacement. I like to see that. I think he got a lot of good chances. He got a lot of good looks in the Kings yeah. game. And I think once he starts to get those games under him, he's you're going to see him something of a regular contributor. So I kind of like that. But I guess to put a nice neat bow on you know and the answer to your question, I was finally at the point where I wanted to see more of Connor Brown, and what he could do. But unfortunately, we're not going to know probably for at least another few months, maybe not into the new year before we see him again. And I'm sorry that for as down as I was on him, that just sucks because he was starting to show me a lot, and it just sucks that he can't right now.
Absolutely.
But yeah, getting back to the game itself, I think I don't want to say the Caps quit, but I mean, I'm sure you saw, if you watched the game, you saw the Caps had all kinds of trouble just getting into the zone. Just yeah. keeping possession, maintaining a zone. And of course, when you don't get in the offensive zone, it hurts your shot total, of course, not to mention all the other nice, you know, analytics and possession metrics. But the most telling stat when it comes to that is the shot total, and that just tailed off completely after a 12 shot start to the first 5-7 for the next two. You know, you're not even a middle of the road team like the Senators, you're not going to beat anybody like that. You're just right. not. And when your goalie is forced to, you know, turn away upwards of 40 plus shots, you know, it's just too much for anybody.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know what happened. I can't put my finger on it, but you know, when the third period started, it was just no bueno as far as any offense. And you know, it wasn't that the defense couldn't keep up. Well, they couldn't in that one play, but you know, the Senators didn't score any goals until later when the Caps emptied their net. So it wasn't a bad defensive effort. It's just one moment in time where they failed. So you can't really blame that side of it too.
Right.
It's just one of those games where, you know, I don't know. You have to get production on that side of the puck, and if you don't, you're dead in the water.
Yeah. Well, say you didn't have an opportunity to watch the game. If I just pulled up the app or however else people look at it, I would have been like, "What the hell happened to the Capitals after the first period?" And right. just because when you have Batherson scoring twice in 2 minutes, what the hell? You know, it's those kind of frustrations that just kind of got me. And then of course, like you said, when we look on the shots on goal, it's, you know, when it's in the single digits, I do get very frustrated for the team. And we had 5-7, so we could have done better, and I'm glad that, you know, it changed the Kings game, but, you know, let's see it more consistent next week in the upcoming games.
Yeah, I think they're learning already, thank goodness, that they need a more consistent effort. I'll say something else, too. A lot has been said about the power play, both C4 and Smoke and Al Koken kind of made the same point, mm-hmm. At, you know, this week in that both, well, you know what, let's see more than the first unit out there. In the Kings game especially, I don't think the second power play unit didn't see the ice at all. That, I'm sorry, that can't be. That just can't, okay. That can't stay. I'm sorry. I love Ovechkin. That's his wheelhouse. That's his thing. Yes, I get that, but we got to start seeing the second unit roll out there and get a chance. But the point I was going to make was, even on top of that, as far as the special teams, Unfortunately, I don't think the penalty kill has really been up to snuff that much either. Now, I will say also that in this game, the Ottawa game, there might have been a fatigue factor in that, you know, they had to go out there a lot.
Right.
So, you know, in that sense, yes, they can kind of be excused, but they also need to start being better too, because, you know, you're supposed to kill 4 out of every 5 penalties you get. And I don't know what the overall percentage is yet this young season, but I think it's a little below that. So, you know, the penalty kill deserves some you know, share of the blame here too, because they need to start getting better. Because if they don't, you know, that's 1 or 2 goals a game you shouldn't be giving up. And I might be a bit. We'll get to this in a little bit when we wrap up the recaps, but after that is, but I think a lot of fans are already too down on Kemper already. Yes, he's had a few gaffes. Yes, he's had a few shots already that maybe he should have had and probably want back, but I think overall he's done a good job. I'm not saying that blindly to support management, but I think for the contract we got him on, and, you know, the service he's expected to provide, I think he's doing a pretty good job so far.
Right, and I'll admit, I mean, I texted you last night and asked how come he was in. I was, for some reason, I had it in my head that it was a back-to-back. But you're right, you know, he, and I do think that you know, if you go back and watch highlight reels, apparently I'm having a difficult time talking today. I would say, more difficult goals for him to stop than there were ones that were like, he should have had that, you know, kind of thing. So I'm going to give him credit. I actually really am pulling for him this year. I like him. I just, for some reason, had it in my head that he wasn't going to be playing for some reason last night against the Kings, but I'm glad he did.
Yeah. So, right. So, the intent is to get him probably about 60% of the game. So maybe 50. So he'll probably see 55, 60 starts. If he starts more than 50, 60 games, I'll be very surprised. And you probably want to go on the low end of that. So that's the plan. He's going to be the bona fide starter, and I think they're confident in Chucky Lindgren that he's going to be the fill in for at a minimum 25 to 35 games. So that is the plan. Now things can change. You know, games can go to hell. There's injuries and whatnot, but that's the plan as far as the goalie. But, you know, as we mentioned before, finally, I think that question long term has been answered. But again, yeah, I'm not gonna say that you know, Kemper has not lived up to his end of things. I'm gonna say he's one of a few that I'm pretty high on. Dylan Strome being the other. I like what they've delivered so far. So I'm pretty pleased as far as that goes. Caps are 3-3 now. I want to quickly address some of the negativity that I'm seeing. Certain Facebook rooms are known for that. I'm not going to say who you are. You know who you are. Certain fans are known for that. I'm not going to say who you are. You know who you are. But I'm starting to notice some of the diehards out there are starting to give up and thinking that, you know, after a 6-game sample, they've resigned themselves to seeing the Caps miss the playoffs. It's been 6 games, people.
Right.
Yes, they've only won half of them. Yes, they're still trying to find their identity. But it's still too early to give up on this team. It just is.
For me, it's not even worth discussing. It's the same thing I said last week, you know.
Oh, I know. But
it's annoying. It's disappointing in some people that, like, you know better. Come on.
But it's starting to piss me off, to be honest. Yeah. And look, speaking of which, I also want to say something. Yes. Okay. Yes. We've been down on older guys like Marcus Johansson and Eller. Yes. as we just mentioned, they did have something to contribute these past few games. Mm-hmm. And we always give credit where credit is due. The problem, I won't speak for Anna, but the problem I have or had or have in a sense is that, well, we just mentioned him. Unfortunately, a guy like Connor McMichael is who deserves an opportunity to prove himself is getting shafted because until now, Johansson and Eller really haven't done a whole lot to earn and keep show that they deserve a regular roster spot. Now, if they can keep up this play, sure, let them 100%. Start every game.
100%. And we all know, like I know Robbie doesn't quite understand how, but I will give credit when credit is due. Same thing with Orlov. And never been a huge Orlov fan. Not taking that back. Not a huge Mojo fan, but I will give credit when credit's due. Both of them have impressed me, you know. So that's that. But that's great. But again, devil's advocate, we're six games in. You know, a lot can happen.
Right, so. And you know, and again, a lot of people's, you know, sometimes your game falls off, and I just want to see the younger guys get a chance. I think Joe Snively's deserving. Now we've lost. We'll never know what Brett Leeson and Axel Janssen Fjällby will contribute because they're both on other teams now.
Sucks.
And I'm sorry, you know, we advocated for the younger guys because it's high time for the rebuild.
Yeah,
you know, it's I guess. I'm not going to backpedal. I think Johansson and Eller in the long run aren't good for this team because, you know, eventually their games are going to still decline. And, you know, this team desperately needs to get younger. We're on the wrong side of 30 as far as the average age.
Yeah.
You know, that's a reality we're going to have to start dealing with. And that's, you know, that's really the only objection I have against those two guys is that, you know, their production wasn't what it once was, and we need to start getting a grasp on the younger guys and what they can contribute. And we'll never know if they don't get any playing time. And that's, I don't think some of you out there understand that's our big, go ahead.
No. I'm a big Joe fan, and I want to see that kid get more time, and I think he's going to do phenomenal. And so, yeah, so no. I agree with you.
You know, and
do we need to record that separately, and you're going to throw it in my face a couple of times? Wait, what did you say? <shit?
laughs> us two agree on something?
What? Yeah. All right, yeah. Let's end the episode now before something changes.
Yeah, before you know, the world blows up or hell freezes over.
Before you tell your joke.
you know me too well.
Yes, I do.
I don't want this to turn nasty, but some of you out there are that are saying, well, look at all you people complaining about Eller and Johansson. What do you think of them now? Some of you out there are the same people that complained about giving up on Vrana too early, giving up on Andre Burakovsky too early. Mm-hmm. And look what we got for those guys.
Right.
Well, you can't have it both ways. I'll just put it that way. Leave it at that. All right.
Speaking
so,
Ronna, can I just have a number 13 pause of just sending well wishes to whatever he's going through?
Absolutely. And of course, what Anna's talking about is the announcement earlier in the week that Jacob Vrana was admitted himself into the NHL's wellness program. I don't know what the official name of it is, but he voluntarily checked himself into that, similar to Carey Price's status, for another example. So he's obviously battling some bad stuff right now. I don't have any confirmation on this, but and you can't see me doing this, the air quotes, word on the street is that Vrana had a really, really tough time dealing with his most recent injury that put him out for all of last year. Mm-hmm. I don't want to cast aspersions, but the word on the street, as it were, was that he had either an adverse reaction to painkillers or became addicted to them, or some sort of substance problem, perhaps.
Right.
We don't pretend to know exactly what he's going through. And of course, we wish him very, very well. That's why we're giving this time, because he has done a lot for the team. So whatever it is he is going through, you know, hopefully he'll come out of it much, much better and be able to get back onto the ice and resume his career. So we wish him nothing but the best. Okay, so I just want to go through the quick previews of coming attractions. Caps will finish the month on the road. Jersey on Monday. Then that Thursday, the 27th, against Dallas, 8:30 puck drop. Nashville is who's on Saturday. And then Halloween night, very scary, against the Hurricanes, 7 p.m. puck drop. At PNC Arena there. That ends
Are you going to be the count this year?
I will count all the goals that they score against the pitiful Hurricanes, yes.
That's why I'm not on, but okay.
That's one insult from the mermaid.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's two for one. quick programming note, yes. You will not be hearing the mermaid that evening. Or that for that recording next week, because she has duties as a Halloweeny or a Halloween duties.
Potato, potato. Yes.
That too.
Yeah. Just a little, you know, adult
swim.
Halloween celebration. Let's put it that way, in my neighborhood.
You'll have to tell us all about it.
Oh, I will.
Oh, PG rated, of course.
Of course. Is there any other way?
Oh, no. No, there is no other way. Okay. So we will have an to-be-announced fill-in for the Mermaid co-hosting next week. And then week after that be regular. So as regular as can be, anyway. All right. So that's all we have for this week. So we're going to wrap it up. So for the Mermaid, Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off. And, well, speaking of mermaids, Anna, how is it that mermaids talk to each other?
I don't know.
On their shell phones.
No, but yeah.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.
I don't know what it's going to take. I feel like I think that there probably are people out. I know there are people out there that are laughing at Casey Malone is one that loves these jokes and stuff. I don't know what it's going to take for me to like just chuckle on my shell phone.